In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A darkness has set over our world. It's real. It's tangible. Even those who have no concept of what it is that we're celebrating today, they feel the weight. They feel the heaviness. For we all belong to one of two camps. Either we belong to the camp which is light itself, members who carry the light of Christ within us, and we see that that light has just been snuffed out of this world and are left wondering what the next step is. Or those who belong to the camp of darkness, for they know darkness themselves. They've dwelt in it for who knows how long. There almost seems to be a comfort to it. But in this moment, the very gates of hell tremble with fear. For ever since the moment that the devil convinced Adam and Eve to reject God, to bring sin into this world, darkness has had its day. Jesus himself testifies to this when he says, "The prince of this world, the ruler of this world, is about to be cast out." Humanity surrendered the world to darkness when we rejected the light. And so many are creatures of the darkness. But today, darkness loses its power. For even as the light is snuffed out of this world, it is impossible to destroy the light of God himself. He is the very essence of reality. You cannot destroy it. And so even though we are left behind feeling that void in this world right now, that light must go somewhere. And it's going to the one place that Jesus cried out, the last words that he shared with us. He said, "I thirst." And he's not talking about being parched, wanting liquid to satiate his dry throat. He's saying, "I thirst for souls." How he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit had waited from the very beginning of time for this day. And then he was brought into the world, how he waited for 33 long years, desiring to bring about salvation. And finally, the moment is here. Yes, it seems like the battle is lost. But the war is something totally different. And in this moment, the ultimate victory has occurred. For even when it seems like death and darkness has won, we have hope. We have hope that we know that this is not the end of the story, that we will gather together today and gather again in a few days to rejoice in the light and the glory that is to come, but we're not there yet. We are not ready to celebrate yet. We find ourselves feeling this heaviness, feeling this darkness. And that's not a bad thing. For what happens when we're living our own lives and we've been striving to be a good and a holy person and we fall into sin? That darkness sets into our heart that's not meant to be there. Do we fall into despair? Or do we recognize this is not the end? I am not made to be a creature of darkness. I am not made to be a creature of sin. I am made in the image and likeness of God. And through my baptism, I have been adopted into the family of God. That the Holy Spirit, the light of God himself, is meant to dwell in my very soul. And even if I have driven him out, that is not the end of the story. God's grace, God's mercy is waiting. how much he wanted to pour it across the entirety of the world. And we see that in today's gospel. As even as it seems like Jesus is no longer with us, he has one last gift that he wishes to give to us. As a soldier takes that spear and pierces the side of our Lord, blood and water symbolizing grace and mercy continue to flow. How much God wants to pour himself into our souls. Will we receive that grace? Are we ready to accept the mercy that God wants to extend to us? I was so moved the other day as I was hearing confessions. Yesterday we were reflecting upon how the priest acts in persona Christi Capitis. He works in the person of Christ the head. So much so that in the sacraments, the priest and Jesus are indistinguishable from each other. It's why yesterday every single priest said, "This is my body." As he worked in the person of Christ, and Jesus was the one who was saying it. As the priest sits in the confessional and says, "I absolve you of your sins." Not God, not Jesus, not someone else. The priest absolves because he is in the person of Christ. And as I was reflecting on that a few days ago, remembering that I'm not the one to come up with the words of advice. I'm not the ones to come up with the words of encouragement. I'm not the one to come up with the words of chastisement when they're needed. Christ wants to work through me. And so in that day, in a particular grace of surrendering, and as penitent after penitent after penitent came in, I kept asking, "Lord, what is it that you wish to say to this, your beloved son, this, your beloved daughter?" And the same message came to me again and again and again. "Tell them of my love." It was as clear as day. I could not ignore the words if I wanted to. How Jesus wants us to understand how much he loves us. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter how long we've been living in darkness. It doesn't matter how much we've rejected God. There is nothing we can do that he is not willing to forgive. Because it's in that mercy given that love truly can manifest in a soul. How did Jesus have the strength to spend all night long in the garden? Becoming sin himself, the sinless one becoming sin. I stayed up last night till midnight, and I've been dragging all day today. He stayed up all night. How is it that Jesus was able to stand there to be rejected by one who he called a friend? How was it that Jesus could stand there and listen to the lies and the slanders that were thrown his way? To feel each of those scourges across his back, across his torso, on his legs, even on his face. How could he endure the crowning of thorns, thorns that were so strong that we even know they pierced his very skull? How did he carry the cross? And how did he hang there in agony for 3 hours? We get a headache and run to the medicine cabinet for Tylenol. And yet Jesus underwent all of this. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to. He didn't just want us to tell each other of his love. He wanted us to have a visual to see the love that he has for us. But not just in himself either. This is a gift that's meant to be spread. On that same evening, as I was hearing those confessions, hearing this message of love that God wanted us to know, I was praying that day over the joyful mysteries. And in the confessional, there's not much that I can see, but I have a clear shot to see the 13th station of the cross. As I'm standing there, praying over the Nativity of our Lord, meditating over Mary receiving Jesus into her arms that first day that he came into this world. I'm also seeing the station where Mary is the one who receives Jesus into her arms the last day that he is on this earth. And now we understand the wedding feast of Cana in a whole new way. For as Mary comes to Jesus and shares with him that there's a problem at the celebration, that they are running out of wine, that this couple is about to be embarrassed, and she wants Jesus to do something about it. As is so often the case, our English translation falls very short. So often we hear, "What does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." That's not what the original Greek says. The original Greek is, "What is this to you and to me?" He looks at Mary and he brings her into this great vocation that he had called her to. He looks at her and he says, "You know why I'm here on this earth. You heard the words of the angel. You know the passion that is to come." And he looks at his beloved mother and he says, "You're part of that. He is ready to give his life in a moment's notice. But he knows how it will crush the heart of his mother." And so he asks her and he says, "What is this to you and to me?" He says, "If I am going to perform this miracle, you know what it's going to lead to. That prophecy that she heard, that her heart would be pierced." He told her, "That day will come if I perform this miracle." And as an obedient son, he looks at his mother and he gives her the choice. He says, "If you wish to run from this, if you cannot handle this, if you want God the Father to find another path for salvation, the choice is yours. But if you are ready to enter into my passion with me, then give me the word." And Mary turns and she looks at the servant. And she begins the greatest act that humanity ever witnessed. She didn't know how long it would take, but she knew what was to come. And so on this day, as she is standing there receiving the body of her son, she thinks back and hears those words again, "What is this to you and to me?" And she remembers that this is what Jesus came for and the beautiful vocation that she had said yes to. And so you can imagine, as a mother is standing there holding her son. Any mother holding a child who has passed away would be hard enough, but she witnessed everything that led up to it. The temptation that would be a justifiable anger and rage to turn toward everyone, to yell and to scream and to demand that they take ownership for what they have done. How strong it must have been in that moment. And yet she remembered grace. She remembered mercy. And she finally understood in the clearest of ways. She is the mother of mercy. That when we find ourselves in darkness, and when we find ourselves separated from God, when we don't know which path is the right way forward, there's only one response. Run to Mary. It's the last wish that Jesus gave to us. He looked at the disciple whom he loved. He looked at you. He said, "Behold your mother." Do we love our Mother of Mercy, the one who is willing to wrap us in her loving mantle, knowing every single sin that we have committed, every scourge that was on her son's body because of our actions, every single insult that was thrown because of what we have done. And yet she doesn't hold that against us. She remembers her vocation. She remembers her mission to bring us to the mercy of God. The light has gone out, and we're even seeing it here in this moment as the sun has gone down. But one light will continue to shine as we leave here tonight. The moon is bright. It's no mistake that this celebration always happens right around the full moon. An image of the beauty and the glory that Mary reflects to us. That when we run to her, she will lead us on the right path. Let us stay close to our Blessed Mother, comfort her Immaculate Heart. For tonight we gather in hope. We know the end of the story, but we are not there yet. And perhaps that's good, for there are many who continue to dwell in darkness, and yet Mary wants to bring them to light, to bring them to the glory that we're called to have in our life. Let us just allow ourselves to be wrapped in her loving embrace, comforted in a way that only a mother can, and she will bring us to the glory that we see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.